So as I said a few moments ago, today we're celebrating our sixth CWOW weekend. If you're not familiar, CWOW stands for Church Without Walls. So every fourth weekend of the month, rather than going to church, we are the church going to people. Rather than gathering in a building for worship service, we've been scattering to our neighborhoods, our apartment buildings, our places to be the hands and feet and heart and eyes. The eyes of Jesus. That's what I want to talk about today. And listen to me, no one has eyes like Jesus. He sees you, right? Right now, he sees you in all your mess and loneliness and loss. He sees your broken places in the midst of the beautiful spots. He sees you and he is full of love for you. You are not hidden. Listen to me, you're not ignored. You're getting more than a quick, annoyed look. He's not rolling his eyes at you. He sees you and he loves you. So let me ask you, what do you see? When you look around at the world, what do you see? John Eldridge describes an experience that he and his family endured in Alaska. They were in a plane running low on fuel. They had circled for what seemed an eternity, but still the fog refused to lift. Rain and mist smeared the windshield as they all strained to find a break in the clouds. Nobody wanted to leave. But running out of gas was not a very good option either. The weather was rough, and below them was the ocean. If by chance they survived the crash, it lasted about 7 minutes in the icy waters. 3 more minutes, the pilot yelled above the drone of the plane's engines. 3 more minutes, and we'll have to turn back. We'll give it one more pass. They had all come to see Fairweather Mountain. As John Eldridge writes, Fairweather Mountain is a total misnomer. With a name like that, don't you picture some lovely place in Hawaii or maybe Costa Rica, balmy breezes and gentle green slopes and the weather always fair. These mountains explode 15,000 feet above sea level right off the coast of Alaska. Sheer cliffs and foreboding glaciers. Some of the world's worst weather hangs out here. The pilot was yelling, they get their name because you can only see them in fair weather. What idiot came up with that cleverness, Eldridge thought. They ought to be named the Peaks of Frozen Death or the Don't Even Think About It Mountains. Fair weather? Around here, he said. That means maybe 20 days a year, if you're lucky. Well, that day they got lucky. With minutes to spare, the clouds parted for this breathtaking view of a lifetime. Vertical granite walls rose and fell thousands of feet on either side of them, white cascades of ice falling through thin air. 20 days a year, if you're lucky. Do you ever feel like when it comes to what you see, you just aren't lucky? Like, do you ever feel like you're living your life in a fog? Sometimes we don't even know what we can't see because we're living life blind. And I'm not so much talking about physical sight here. What I'm saying is that when it comes to reality, when it comes to spiritual sight, emotional sight, when it comes to reality, we all need to be reminded sometimes that there is more. Say this to yourself. There's more than I can see. More than I can see. Isn't this what Paul was describing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We're going to focus in on John 9, but I want to start here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, he writes, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, I think the last 18 months, I've had some variation of that thought going over and over and over again. In my head, there's more here than we can see. There's more than I can see. And I'm not talking about conspiracy theories. I'm talking about the love of Jesus. I'm talking about the work of God, God at work in our world. I'm talking about our neighborhoods and workplaces and friend groups, social places where we hang out. There's more than I can see. There's more than you can see. Here's my theory. I believe that one of the reasons why we find ourselves in such a struggle today with so many different things, so much conflict, so much division, such a struggle in so many different areas, I believe the reason is because we've come to believe that what we can see is all there is to see. But what if there's more? Paul says that we should fix our eyes on what is unseen because what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Let's be honest. That sounds like crazy talk. I mean, what when what is unseen is more real to you than what is seen, most of us think, wow, you got a problem. You may need medication. But what if what is unseen is not always unreal? So for a moment, would you just do a bit of an imagination exercise with me? Just take a moment and close your eyes and imagine your front door, the front door of wherever you live. You're inside your home and you go to your front door. You reach down and you turn the knob and you walk out to your hallway or your front yard and you look around to the left, to the right, across the hall, across the street. Now let me ask you, what do you unsee? What are you missing? Ask yourself the question, what is unseen in my world, in my neighborhood, in my place? What is unseen in the people that I hang out with? What do you not see? Can I tell you three things that often go unseen in our neighborhoods and the places where we live in our social settings? Unseen in the people that we pass by every day, people you sit next to in class, and the people you work with. First of all, we don't see the brokenness. In part, sometimes because we don't want to see the brokenness, and in part, sometimes because it's internal, it's hidden, but it hurts. Secondly, we don't see the beauty. We don't see the potential for glory, sometimes hidden deep within every person, created in the image of God, loved by Jesus, a soul of worth, even that person who annoys you, who upsets you, who hurt you. We don't see the brokenness, we don't see the glory, and because we miss the beauty in the brokenness, the glory in the mess, we often miss. Here's what maybe is even the most unseen thing. We often miss God at work. Because that's where he works. Let me give you an example of this. Lynn and I had just graduated from college. We'd gotten married and moved to Brooklyn, New York. We're working to pay off college bills before gaining seminary bills. And while we were there, we got involved in this little church. Actually, we became the youth leaders in this little church. And this particular night, it was a Wednesday night youth meeting. We just finished our Bible study, and it was a nice night, so we decided to go outside. Now, this is Brooklyn. So outside was not a nice front yard. It was the front steps and the sidewalk. We came out walking and laughing and talking, this group of kids and Lynn and I, and they're sitting in the middle of our hangout space, right on the steps of the church, was this middle-aged guy, disheveled and dressed in the type of clothes only the homeless wear, unkempt and kind of talking quietly to himself. The kids, we came out, I remember this vividly, the kids parted like the Red Sea as they walked around him. So I knew, we all knew that he was there. But it was almost like he was invisible. It was like he was sitting inside a box. And the box might have had a label on it, but no one really cared to look inside. It was just a box. Nobody acknowledged him. Nobody even joked about him. Even he recognized the box because in the midst of all these people working their way around him, not once did he try to speak or even look at us. Now, in that moment, God was pushing me to see. I remember the feeling in my heart, pushing me to look past what I could see to something unseen. But sometimes it's easier to live life blind. Less disruption, less mess, less interruption, right? I mean, have you ever felt a nudge to find out what was really going on in someone's life? Felt a nudge by God to really see them, but it just seemed easier to live life blind. Lynn and I were one of the last ones to leave that evening. We got into our car and drove away. And it was like the further I got, the worse I felt. No more than two blocks later, I had to stop. And I turned around and drove back. But he was gone. And at the time, I thought, man, I missed an opportunity to serve somebody. I missed an opportunity to serve Jesus in disguise. I failed the servant test. But you know, at some point, God brought that experience back to me, and I sensed him saying, Dan, it wasn't so much that you missed an opportunity to serve. You missed an opportunity to see me at work. You just didn't see. And honestly, I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus got so annoyed with the religious leaders of his day. They just didn't see. They didn't see the brokenness or the beauty around them. They couldn't see God at work in the people around them. They were living life blind. but not Jesus. Man, nobody had eyes like Jesus. Jesus had the eyes of God. And when he looked at people, he saw the mess, but he also saw the glory. He saw the effects of sin, but he also saw the work of God. Jesus sees. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 9, John's Gospel chapter 9. And John gives us an example of that. John 9 is one of seven miraculous moments in the life of Christ described by John in his Gospel. And these moments are signs. John calls them signs. They're moments that were not just meant to inspire us to believe that Jesus will give us our miracle, but actually they were meant to reveal something about the heart and the power of God. They point to something. They were a sign, something that we need to know about Jesus. And in this case, we need to know that Jesus sees and will give us sight. He's the sight giver. So listen to the story in John chapter 9. It says this: as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Why is he blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him," so that you could see God at work. "As long as it is day," Jesus said, "we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I'm the light of the world." And after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva and the dirt, and he put it on the man's eyes, and he said, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. "Go wash in the pool of sent." He sent him to the pool of sent. So the man went and he washed and he came home seeing, John tells us. So as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And this kind of sounds like descriptive filler, like as they went along, it was a sunny day. But in reality, this sentence leads us to the very heart of this story. Jesus sees. He sees. He notices what we leave unseen. Jesus sees the people we miss. Every day, Jesus sees the people we miss. Jesus sees. He sees people hidden in the margins of life. He sees the broken and the grieving and the hurt. He sees those that our culture would rather unsee, not see. He sees kids. I know most of you would agree with me that one of the hardest things in life is the suffering of children, especially when that suffering turns into a lifetime of living with a profound loss. And you know what? As a pastor, as your pastor, few things have given me a deeper sense of joy than seeing God raise up people who care about children who are suffering, whether it's through adoption or fostering or sponsoring or serving a kid through Big Brother, Big Sister. You care. I've seen that in some cases, your care is extended to kids in great homes who have special needs. You care. I mean, we can care more, but I love how much you care now. This man that Jesus saw had lived blind since he was born. And although we never know his name, he was known to his neighbors. He was known to the people in the community of Jerusalem. And yet nobody even thought to bring him to Jesus. Nobody cared enough to say, you know, I wonder if Jesus could help him. All of his life, this guy had lived in darkness. He had no idea what it meant to see. I mean, think about that. For a moment, be him. Close your eyes and cover them with your hands. Just pause like that for a few moments. You don't know who's passing by unless they acknowledge themselves. You don't know who sees you. As far as you know, if no one acknowledges you, no one sees you. Not only are you blind, man, you're hidden. Later in the story, we find that he has parents, but everyone just knows him as the blind man who sits and begs. So he's not only blind, but he lives in poverty. His suffering as a child has led to a lifetime of profound loss, but Jesus sees him. Jesus sees him. You know, two different times this last week, I've said in a group of people as we were asked to ponder our loss from the last 18 months, what have you lost? What are you grieving? There's some little things that just kind of add up, and there's some really major things that it's like all you can think of. And I think sometimes we don't see the broken people around us because we're really not willing to embrace, sometimes even acknowledge, our own brokenness. We don't see the brokenness around us because we're not willing to embrace our own loss. The common reflex is just to see and avoid. I don't want to think about my pain. I don't want to think about my hurt. But man, Jesus calls us to see your neighbors. You can't love your neighbors if you don't see your neighbors. We have the Spirit of Jesus in our hearts. If you're a follower of Christ, a Jesus apprentice, you have the Spirit of Jesus in your heart. We've been seen and loved in all of our brokenness, all of our mess. We're seen and loved by Jesus, and He calls us to see others. One thing I love about the Bible is it doesn't skip the hard or confusing things of life. It's filled with stories of people living life blind and people living life unseen in the margins. And it speaks with great clarity and power to both. You know, when the disciples see the blind man, when they're confronted by his brokenness and by the suffering and pain, when they're confronted by his loss, their first question was, Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents? Whose fault is it? What is the cause? I mean, we do that, don't we? Something bad happens to someone, something bad happens to us, and we want to know why. If there really is a God, what did I do to deserve this? If God is a good, loving, all-powerful God, then why do bad things happen to good people? And even why do good things happen to bad people? You know, Jesus in this moment could have taken the opportunity to preach the world's greatest sermon on the problem of evil and pain in the world. He could have solved it once and for all. It would have been the answer for all those pain-filled questions. Why did my mother die of COVID? Why didn't God protect that child from horrible abuse? Why did another earthquake strike Haiti? And oh God, why are our friends in Myanmar suffering through so much? Why cancer? Why so many orphans in the world? But Jesus had a different, and I would suggest, deeper response to the pain in front of him. He said, the only thing I'll say right now is that this situation is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see God at work. It's an opportunity for God to be glorified. It's an opportunity to reveal the works of God. See, we're looking for a cause, but Jesus sees an opportunity. We're looking for a cause, but Jesus sees an opportunity. They say to him in verse 2, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? What is the cause of this blindness? Please explain this, Jesus. Help us understand. Jesus says, no, you're looking in the wrong direction. Don't look for the cause. Look for the purpose. In other words, the cause of your suffering will never outweigh the purposes of God. Do you hear that? The cause of your loss, your suffering, your brokenness will never outweigh the purposes of God. This blindness came, Jesus said, so that the works of God could be revealed. I don't know. Perhaps the reason why we struggle with an explanation like that is that we don't fully value the works of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul pondering all the suffering that we might face in this world. And let me tell you, Paul went through a lot of suffering. He lived in the midst of people who suffered so much. And Paul writes, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Whatever you've gone through, COVID, Myanmar, loss, this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for a greater work of glory. Won't even compare. See, I don't think sometimes we understand what an amazing privilege and honor it is to be a canvas for the work of God. I don't think we fully comprehend the deep sense of peace and satisfaction, contentment that comes when my life becomes the art of His heart. Do we really value the work of God in us and in others? See, listen, this might be the most important principle of the whole story. In order to live our one and only life in an uncommon way, in order to find the life that we really long to live, we need to have uncommon sight. But my sight is shaped by the stories I hear. My sight is shaped by the narrative that I develop for myself and my circumstances. What stories, what narrative do you tell? What stories do you hear? What stories do you let into your ears? Do you realize how much our sight is shaped by our stories? What if, for example, as you walk through life, you constantly rehearse a John 9:3 story? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but his life and his suffering is meant to reveal the works of God. Your life and your suffering is meant to reveal the works of God. How would that change how you see people? How would that change how you see yourself? What if you constantly rehearse the 2 Corinthians 4:17 story? My light and momentary afflictions are nothing compared to the glory that is working in me. What I'm going through is nothing compared to the glory that's coming. COVID, mass politics, nothing compared to the glory that is working in me. Racial injustice, as difficult as it is, nothing compared to the glory that is at work in you and me. I mean, how would that change the way that you see your circumstances? How would that change the way that you see people in your neighborhood? What if the story of your life is that your life in all of its mess was meant to be a revelation of the heart of God, the work of God? What if you rehearsed a Philippians 1:6 story that the God who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion? See, the stories we hear shape what we see. The stories we hear shape what we see. We've seen that all through the last 18 months. What stories do you tell yourself or others about life, about Jesus? Can you see how those stories shape how you see? The theologian Helmut Thielicke once wrote, "Jesus gained the power to love harlots, bullies, and ruffians. He was able to do this only because he saw through the filth and crust of degeneration, because his eye was caught by the divine original, hidden in every way, in everybody." What do you see? How well do you see the unseen reality that shapes everything that we see? And listen, nothing gives light to the unseen realities like Jesus, the sight giver. Listen again to his answer to the disciples' question. "This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. But while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." He is the light of the world in us. Jesus in us is still the light of the world. You are the light of the world. The stories that you tell, the stories that we hear, the stories we believe about Jesus, that they shape our sight. What stories are you telling yourself? Let me just look at four stories that shape our sight. These stories, they come up in this ongoing conversation regarding Jesus and with Jesus. The first story is found in verses 8 through 12. This is a long story in John chapter 9, but in verses 8 through 12, we see this conversation between the former blind man and his neighbors. That's the conversation. And the neighbors are asking him, "What happened to you? You're walking around like, 'You see, I see. What happened to you?'" His neighbors asked this, and he replied to them, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I could see." I went and washed, and I could see. This man, the man called Jesus, made mud and anointed my eyes. At this point, he simply calls Jesus the man. He knows his name, but he simply calls him the man. "How were you healed? I was a pretty cool mud pack by that man, Jesus." And this is the story that much of our world tells, hears, and believes today. Jesus was just a man who did some pretty cool things and taught some great life principles, but he was just a man. He was not God. He was just a man, a good man. In fact, maybe even a really good man, maybe even the best man, but just a man. That's one of the stories that shape our sight about Jesus. The second story is found in a conversation between the man who was born blind and now can see and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. It says, "Then they turned," the religious leaders, the Pharisees, "turned again to the blind man. 'What have you to say about him?'" They want him to say something bad about Jesus because they're against Jesus, but the man says, "He's a prophet." He's a prophet. Now, don't miss this. Something has happened here. A new story is beginning to form in this man's heart. He's seeing Jesus differently. He's a prophet, not just an ordinary man, but one sent by God. Not necessarily someone that I would follow. He doesn't have authority over me, but this man must have had a unique relationship with God. "Maybe you want to follow him too," he says to the Pharisees. Now, we hear that story today, right? Jesus was a man with a divine connection. He optimized the God life more than anyone who ever lived. He channeled the cosmic Christ. He was so connected to the divine. I wish I was like him. He doesn't have authority over me, but I wish I was like him. But then the story takes another turn, another development, a different story for the man who once was blind. When he's brought to the Pharisees a second time, they continue to badger him to deny what has been done. They want to shove Jesus aside, but finally he says to him, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And in other words, I am now convinced that what happened to me is the work of God. Don't miss this turning point in the story. It's not the final story. It's not the story that gives blind eyes sight, but it's close. God did this. God did this. There is a higher power. I don't believe that all of life is chance, and maybe, just maybe, I'm starting to believe that God is involved in the affairs of the world. Yes, I do. I believe that what has happened to me is the work of God. And you can see the hazy fog is starting to lift. I'm not sure what I believe about Jesus, but I do believe that God is at work in my life. Maybe that's where you find yourself today. But then the story takes a final turn. It shapes the sight one final time. It's found in a final conversation between Jesus and the man once blind, a brief conversation. You see the Pharisees, the religious leaders, threw the once blind man out of the temple because he wouldn't say anything bad about Jesus. The guy can no longer go to his church, to temple. But when Jesus heard that he had been thrown out, he went and found him. He went looking for him. And when Jesus found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have now seen him. And in fact, he's the one speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. This man has been threatened and thrown out of the temple, but Jesus seeks him and finds him. He's gone from Jesus is just a man with a mud pack to he has a unique relationship with God to I don't know who Jesus is, but I do know that God is at work in me. And then finally to Jesus, he says, I believe. I worship you. Just imagine this for a moment. Blind since birth. Horrendous trauma, tragic loss, known as nothing more than the blind guy who begs on the corner. And then Jesus shows up. Heaven invades the earth. And now he can see, and not only can he see, but he's met the Creator, the soon-to-be Savior, Jesus in the flesh. I'm telling you, this guy has a smile that is creasing the heavenlies. His eyes are open and his heart is awakening and depression is ending. Shame and fear are on the run. Glory is being revealed and he just cannot stay silent. John Ortberg shares about some friends in the Midwest. From an outside look, they had it all together. Not born blind. No outside trauma, successful lawyer in a gorgeous home for a stay-at-home mom. Her name was Eileen. But on the inside, her life was kind of empty. And on the inside, her husband was an alcoholic. One day, a neighbor invited their daughter to a gathering in their home. They called it a backyard Bible club. Maybe today we'd call it a front yard Bible club. When her daughter came home, she found out that the people at this club had told her daughter about Jesus, which really kind of bothered Eileen because she wasn't into religion. Frankly, she was upset that it happened at all. But her daughter just couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Eileen couldn't sleep that night. She got up at midnight, opened a drawer to find a Bible that had never been read. She saw that it had an Old Testament and a New Testament. She had no idea what that even meant, but figured the New Testament must be the upgraded version, Bible 201. So she started there. She read Matthew. She read Mark. She read Luke. She finished the Gospel of John at 3 a.m, and in her words, I just fell in love with this man, Jesus. And what the disciples are doing, I want to do. Not soon after that, her husband's law firm made him go to AA, and through someone at AA, he met Jesus, and God gave him the power to quit drinking, all because of this man, Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I want for us. That's what I want for you, that we would see Jesus for who he really is, that we would surrender to Jesus and fall in love with this guy, Jesus, that we would believe and worship, that we would just want to do what Jesus and his disciples are doing, that we would want to be an apprentice of Jesus. Would you do me a favor? Unless you're driving, as you listen to me. Would you just hold one hand over your eyes like this, and then hold one hand over your heart like this. And I want to pray for you as you sit like that. Jesus, would you open our eyes? Our eyes blinded by the loss, the hurts of our hearts, by our loss and our bitterness, blinded by selfishness and pride and pain. Jesus, would you open our eyes? Would you open our eyes that are blinded by busyness and Facebook and Instagram and news? Jesus, would you open our eyes? Would you connect our eyes with our hearts? Would you show us the stories we need to hear that will shape our sight? Jesus, we desperately need to see you. There are people around us that you want us to see. Would you give us your eyes? Would you give us your heart? Jesus, connect the eyes of our heads with the eyes of our heart. Jesus, if there are people who are listening to me today who need to change their story from Jesus is just a good man, all the way to Jesus, I believe, I worship you. Spirit, would you open up their eyes? What would you get rid of the blinders that the enemy has put over their eyes? Would you open up their eyes so that they might truly see Jesus? It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want you to listen to this song. And as you listen, just imagine that right now, in an unseen way, but the unseen reality, that right now, heaven is invading earth. Jesus is standing before you, beside you, sitting with you, and he sees you. And I'm telling you, if you'll let him in, glory is coming. Let heaven invade your space.
See the light breaking through all the lies with the truth. Hear the sound of the wind. Let the roar of heaven begin. Can't stay silent, can't stay still when you show up in power, glory revealed. Oh, I can't stay silent, can't stay still when I feel the pyre, feel the ground shake. Broken hearts on the mend. All depression must end. All the shame and the fear run away when you're near. Can't stay silent, can't stay still when you show up in power, glory revealed. Oh, I can't stay silent, can't stay still when I feel the fire, feel the ground shake. Heaven invade, heaven invade. There's freedom in this place. Every heart awaken, everything is changing now. Heaven invade. Thank you. heart starts to race, and I can't contain the feeling of joy. Being in your presence, I can't help but dance, can't help but sing, and I don't really care what anyone thinks. My heart starts to race, and I can't contain the feeling of joy. Being in your presence, I can't help but dance, can't help but sing, and I don't really care what anyone thinks.
Hey, if you would like to chat about Jesus, if you have questions or even just a prayer request, I'd love to connect with you. Just send me an email, dan@calvarysc.org. It's on the screen. You know, in their book, Next Door as It Is in Heaven, authors Lance Ford and Brad Briscoe discuss the profound loneliness that people are regularly experience in our world, and the growing sense of worthlessness that comes from their loneliness. Kind of like, if no one sees me, perhaps I'm not worth seeing. So just think back over your week. And when is the last time you really felt seen, truly seen by a friend, a family member, a coworker? And now turn it around. When is the last time that you really took the time to see your neighbor? Peeking out from behind the curtains doesn't count. I mean, see them in a way that gave them value. I wonder how blind we are when we have our smartphones in hand. Peter Senge once described a greeting that he noticed among the tribes of northern Natal in South Africa. In Natal, the most common greeting is the expression Sawubona. It literally means, I see you. If you're a member of the tribe, you might reply by saying, Sikona, I am here. And the order of the exchange is important. In essence, they're saying, until you see me, I don't exist. Until you see me, I don't exist. So listen to me. Jesus sees you. And he wants to help you see him, give you eyes to see and love others. And when that happens, look out, because heaven is invading the earth. Lynn, why don't you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, I love the picture of Jesus invading earth from heaven. That he so longed to look us in the eyes, to see us face to face, to actually look at us and allow us to look at him. And
yeah.
That's why he came. He came to see us and to be seen by him, to die for us so that his presence could be with us always. So Father, I pray for anyone listening who's feeling isolated, who's feeling alone, who's feeling unworthy or worthless,
yeah, absolutely.
The enemy is just coming against them with shame, telling lies about who they are. Lord, would you break through? Break through the lies with your truth. Break through the loneliness with eyes that see. Would you, God, all around the world, would you stir up your kids to have eyes to
absolutely.
See and to walk into those situations where there's someone feeling unknown, unseen, unloved, unworthy? Would you open our eyes and help us to expectantly, empowered by your Spirit, walk into those places and love the way you love us. So thank you, God. I pray your presence around each one. I pray that in our minds we would continually have that picture of heaven invading earth, your presence here always for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us. I look forward to joining you with you next week and again in October for another CWOW Sunday.